You're listening to the Options Insider Radio Network. For more quality options programs, visit www.theoptionsinsider.com or search for Options Insider Radio Network in your podcast provider of choice. Listeners can also access all of our programming through our mobile app, available in iTunes and on Google Play. Don't forget to follow along with your favorite programs and submit your own questions for the hosts at twitter.com/options. Facebook.com/TheOptionsInsider or via questions@TheOptionsInsider.com.
This is the Option Industry Council's Wide World of Options. Before we start today's show, investors should know that options involve risk and are not suitable for all investors. You should not enter into an options transaction until you have read and understood the risk disclosure document, characteristics and risks of standardized options. This brochure is available by visiting optionseducation.org or by calling 1-888-OPTIONS. OIC makes no recommendation with respect to any financial firm. OIC does not make any warranty as to the accuracy, usefulness, timeliness, or the continued availability or existence of information created or maintained by others. Multiple leg strategies involve multiple commission charges. Opinions and strategies expressed by others are not necessarily those of OIC, nor does OIC endorse, warrant, or guarantee products, services, or information described or offered by such firms. Commissions, fees, margins, interest, and taxes have not been included in any of the examples used in this show. These costs impact the outcome of all stock and options transactions. Consult your tax advisor about any potential consequences. None of the information presented in this show should be construed as a recommendation to buy or sell security or to provide investment advice. Welcome to the Options Industry Council's Wide World of Options. OIC was created in 1992 to educate investors and their financial advisors about the benefits and risks of exchange-traded equity options. And the Wide World of Options radio show is one of the ways the message is spread. OIC also offers a variety of other resources to those interested in learning more about options, including webinars, podcasts, and live events. For more information, check out optionseducation.org. Now, here's your host, OIC's Director of Individual Investor Education, Joe Burgoyne.
Welcome to OIC's Wide World of Options. Thanks for joining us for today's show. Let's get started first with Strategy Spotlight.
It's time to break down the latest option strategies. That means it's time for Strategy Spotlight.
Joining us today on Strategy Spotlight, I'm happy to have my colleague and friend, Bill Ryan, Senior Investor Services Specialist at the OCC Investor Services Desk, joining us today. Bill, welcome.
Joe, thanks for having me on the show.
Bill, as always with Strategy Spotlight, we like to reach out to our colleagues in the industry and ask them what topic they'd like to talk about. I know you'd like to talk about the bull call spread today, but before we do that, why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about yourself and maybe what you do over there at OCC?
Thanks, Joe. I've been with OCC and particularly the OIC for just about 20 years, and we head up the education arm of OCC, and we support the Options Industry Council, providing information and education about options and options trading. And I, as you mentioned, I'm here to talk about employing a very specific event-targeted strategy.
And, 20 years of wisdom. That's why we really feel fortunate to have you joining us today, Bill, on Wide World of Options. Let's get into this whole idea of a bull call spread. So, I know your favorite stock and mine at OIC is XYZ. My understanding is it's trading about $188.
Trading about $188.
Yeah, why don't you, talk to our listeners about,
Okay.
Put together here.
Well, the company in question trading about $188. They have a earnings report due in early May. And one of the beauties of equity options is the, you know, one of the recently or more popular innovations is the weekly expiration date. So we can target a particular trading day, a calendar day, a little bit more directly and specifically. In my strategy analysis, I selected a contract that expires 3 days after they release their earnings. And that's as close as I can get to an expiration that incorporates the event I want to take advantage of or hopefully take advantage of with the strategy.
Okay, that's a dynamite layout there, very specific. Talk to us a little bit about exactly what a bull call spread is, and then we can talk about strike selection as well.
Sure. A bull call spread, as its name implies, is a bullish trading strategy. It is a two-legged strategy. We have a buy side and a sell side. In this strategy, the bull call, we are buying a 180 call and selling a 190 call. Both these contracts expire on the same day. And since we are selling an options contract that we did not previously purchase, we are establishing a short position. This trade needs to be done in a margin account. That's a bit of a hurdle, but the good news is, even though the trade is done in a margin account, the cost of the trade, your margin requirement for a bull call spread, is to pay for the trade in full. Okay? So in our example, we're buying a 180 call and selling a 190 call. And, Joe, you might remember we put our underlier at about 188. I was looking at these numbers a few days ago. And the total cost, we would buy the 180 call for 12.5. We would sell the 190 call for 6.5. Okay, we're paying 12.5. We're taking in 6.5. Our total cost is $6. So we could short him. We say we got a bull call spread, $10 bull call spread, and it cost us $6 or $6. All right. Now, what else do we know about this spread? We know that our break even point is our net debit of $6 added to our long call strike. In this case, the 180 call strike. So, $180 strike price plus our $6 debit tells us that our break-even point for this trade is $186. And I think it's interesting, it's an interesting observation that I'm sure you were going to make, Joe, that the stock is trading at 188 and our break-even point is 186. That seems too good to be true. How can I already be above my break-even point? Well, the reason why we're above our break-even point is the market can move against us. That underlier can decline in price. And we have almost 40 days until my expiration. So a lot can happen in those 40 days.
So, you know, with the bull call spread, and I guess it's the case with any long option position, you want to just review how much we can lose in this trade if we happen to be dead wrong?
If we happen to be dead wrong, and I've already been wrong once already this time, already this year, I should say. if we happen to be wrong, the most we can lose for this on this trade is what we paid for it. And as you remember, we calculated our net debit for the bull call spread. It was $6. So we could lose $6 on this trade.
Okay, gotcha. And the reason I asked about how much we just
go ahead,
the
sir.
Reason I asked how much we can lose first is, you know, to me it's always about worst case scenario as opposed to you know, the fund side, like how much can we make? So that's why I asked about, you know, the loss side first.
It's an excellent question. You know, we always want to know the best case, worst case scenarios. In a bull call spread, the worst case scenario is we can lose 100% of the investment. And again, that's drastic, but I mean, that's just the nature of this business. On the other hand, our upside, the most we can ever make on a spread, is the difference in strike prices, which is $10, minus the debit we paid for our bull call spread, which is $6. So the most we can make on the trade is $4. And when you think about it, Joe, the return on our $6 investment, if we put in a bull call spread, we put out a bull call spread trade, costs us $6 to get in, and best case scenario, we are able to sell it or close it out for a $10 credit. That's a $4 profit. And if we crunch those numbers, that's somewhere in the neighborhood of about 66% return.
Not bad.
Not bad for 40 days.
So let me, and you explained that really well, Bill. So, you know, in terms of how much we can lose, the maximum profit, you know, being the difference between the strike prices minus the debit we pay, break-even point, you know, the debit from the long strike. What if, and you laid out a very specific trade, what if, you know, before we get to earnings, you think things have maybe started to deteriorate in terms of, you know, the goal for, you know, the stock going up? Do you adjust? If so, you know, could you walk us through, you close out the position and move on to something else? You change strikes? You know, how do you approach?
Yeah, you know, it's a... That's an excellent question. Just before you and I started talking today, I was checking the pricing on this position, and since I established this trade, the stock has risen about $2 in value, and our spread that was worth about $6 is now worth about $6.40, maybe $6.50, $6.50 right now. So it has seen some price appreciation. If I were so inclined and there was enough price appreciation, I could certainly be convinced to close my trade out for a profit. On the other hand, if the stock, and again, remember, I'm a bullish investor on this position, you know, on this stock. If I'm wrong, which wouldn't be the first time, but if I am wrong, I would be willing to mitigate my loss by closing the spread out early. However, as you mentioned, Joe, this was an event trade. My plan, my objective was to hold this position through the earnings report. And if I'm right, I will benefit and profit from my prediction and my trade. If I'm incorrect, I might be okay. If the stock just moves sideways, I could be at my break-even point and still have a profitable position. Or I could close it out after the earnings report. I still have 3 trading days left, and I can, you know, try to mitigate some of the loss by closing the trade out in the marketplace.
You know, that all makes sense. Let me ask you this. In your discussion about looking at the stock and having it, you know, up a couple dollars today and, you know, that $6 debit going to about $6.40, do you look at the delta of these call spreads when you're initiating the positions?
Oh, I certainly do, and I'm glad you asked that, Joe. Deltas give us, as you know, deltas give us an estimate of how an options contract's price will behave based on movement in the underlier. when I selected these strike prices last week, the 180 call delta was in the high 70s, and the 190 call delta was in the high 40s. Okay. Right now, they're closer to 80 and 50, which I guess is what we would expect. I mean, the 190 is effectively an at-the-money strike price now, and it's got about 40 days left till expiration. It's going to move about 50 cents to the dollar. And, of course, the 180 call being deeper in the money, it does have a higher delta. In this case, it's closer to 80. So we're things are moving in the right direction in that frame, in that sense as well. But we've still got, you know, 40, at least a month before this earnings report comes out.
You know, we didn't really talk about this, you know, before our little chat here, but I'm going to ask you because I enjoy talking to you about this stuff. You picked the 80-90 strikes. You know, stock was basically 188. You want to kind of go through that thought process, why you picked, you know, the 80-90?
Yeah.
Go ahead, Joe, again,
it's a fantastic question, and I love exploring the thought process behind strike selection. I wanted a bullish trade where my bull call spread was on the buy side, my long call was in the money, and my short call was just out of the money. I could have chosen a narrower strike selection. I could have done the 180, 185, or the 185, 190, a $5 spread using that 185 strike. But I wanted a little bit of a bigger cushion on my long call. By choosing a deeper in the money strike, I'm buying more intrinsic value, more in the money value. I'm going to have a better correlation with movement in the underlying stock. And I know that my long call, my in the money call is always going to have a higher delta than my at or just out of the money call. It gives me comfort, and it also illustrates the reduction in the break-even point calculation. You know, going 5 more dollars in the money on the long call, I got a break-even point that's below the current market level. Even if I'm wrong, I could still come out all right on this trade.
And that's a good thing. And just to reiterate for maybe some of the listeners who may be kind of new to options, what is your target price on this event-driven strategy? What's your target price?
Well, you know, the stock was at 188. If I got a 2% move in the underlier, I'm going to, by expiration, I'm going to be at my max profit. This stock can hit 2% in the first 20 minutes of trading. You know, I love the opportunity to improve my chances for success. And the lower strike, or, you know, the lower break even point means we have a lower requirement for that stock to move higher. It's only got to move a couple of bucks, and we are at, by expiration, we are at our max profit. And as you see, even with a $2 movement prior to expiration, I'm not going to get all of that money. It's not going to be fully valued until expiration and both legs are in the money. So this is a, you know, my event driven strategy. I've got a little bit of wiggle room on the downside, and I don't have too much to gain on the upside. I don't need the stock to move too much higher. I just need the calendar to keep flipping.
Well, Bill, you know, you've done a heck of a job. I think very clear in, you know, the way you have described the benefits and risks of this strategy, the bull call spread. It's event-driven in this particular example. And, you know, we appreciate you joining us today on Strategy Spotlight. Any closing thoughts for our listeners?
One closing thought. Well, you know, whenever we sell calls on an underlying security, we will want to be sure of the company's corporate calendar. If you sell a call option that's in the money and the company is paying a dividend, you should not be surprised if the call option is exercised early. So you do need to pay attention to the corporate calendar. Not only do you need to know when the earnings are, you might want to double check if and when they pay dividends.
Really, thanks so much for joining us. Folks, that's Bill Ryan, Senior Investor Services Specialist at the OCC Investor Services Desk. Thanks again, Bill.
Okay, Joe.
Ready for a little nostalgia? It's time to take a look back.
In today's Looking Back, I thought it might be a good idea to examine the incredible access and speed of execution retail investors like ourselves have in today's listed options market. So how do we get to this point? I go back to the year 2000, when the first electronic exchange was launched, the ISE, part of the NASDAQ's suite of exchanges as of June 2016. Annual options volume, when the industry started in 73 through 1999, never exceeded 500 million contracts in any one year. Now, following the launch of ISE in 2000, by 2006, the industry had topped 2 billion contracts traded annually. Explosive growth continued with 4.6 billion contracts trading in 2011. Last year, the industry had its busiest year ever with over 5.3 billion contracts traded, an average of over 20 million contracts a day. Now, certainly, there were other factors driving the surge in contract volume, things like really vast improvements in technology and order delivery systems, more competition and exchanges dual listing of products, which often narrowed bid-offer spreads and increased liquidity. Quality options education programs, both live and digital from brokerage firms, as well as the OIC, have contributed to options understanding and usage. Factors like the 2007-09 financial crisis, along with historically low interest rates, have contributed to option volume increases as well. But in my mind, without question, the biggest factor in driving market access and speed of execution is the electronic access to our markets. Now remember, I spent 23 plus years on the floor of the PhilX Options Exchange making markets. 19 of those years with no electronic access. Orders did get executed, for sure. But take my word for it, it wasn't pretty or very efficient. Speed of execution, market efficiency, and in the end, volume has improved and increased because of our ability to access our dynamic option markets electronically. Thanks for listening. That's today's Looking Back.
We love connecting with our listeners. With that in mind, let's take a moment to answer a few questions on OIC's Wide World of Options Q&A segment.
We've got two listener questions in today's industry happenings. Our first question comes from Options Pirate 923, who asks, I'm newish to options. I'm wondering how to determine the right strike price. Well, Pirate, we have long strikes and short strikes, meaning long or short options at a particular strike price. As you may know, the use of listed options is generally combined with a forecast or opinion on the underlying asset, stock, index, or ETF. Depending if it's a bullish, bearish, or neutral forecast on the underlying asset, various strike prices come into play. Let's start on the short strike side first. You want the underlying to move towards your short strike as we get closer to expiration. So for a short strike, where maybe your long stock or long another option against your short option strike, you always want the underlying to approach that short strike towards expiration. And again, that starts with a forecast of the underlying. On the long strike side, assuming you have the direction correct on the underlying, bullish with calls and bearish for puts, you want the underlying to move as far away as possible from that long strike, in the right direction, of course. Further away from the strike in the right direction the underlying is moving, the more valuable your option will become. Strike choices include in-the-money options, which are the most expensive, at-the-money options, which are all time premium and will vary in price depending on the amount of movement the underlying, and out-of-the-money options, which are also all time value but less expensive than the at-the-money options. So, Pirate, lots of choices, but remember, if you are long options, you want the underlying to move as far away from the strike as possible, assuming you got the right direction. If you're short options at a strike, that short strike is your target for the stock at expiration. Our next question comes from Charlie C. He asks, what's the most remarkable thing you've seen in the options market? Well, Charlie, I think back to Tuesday, September 11th, 2001, when the U.S. was attacked by terrorists. As you may know, the markets did not open the rest of that week as the heart of the U.S. financial center in New York had been directly attacked. Remarkably, the following Monday, September 17th, the U.S. markets opened on schedule at 9:30 Eastern Time. Now, what happened on the floor of the Philadelphia Options Exchange that morning was truly remarkable. Between Tuesday the 11th and Monday, September 18th, industry leaders and professionals in all capacities from the Philex and New York-based Amex options floors came together tirelessly to actually allow the Amex Options Exchange to open for business. But the Amex was now based at 1900 Market Street in Philadelphia. Fierce competitors had come together in this time of need for all to do whatever it took to get our markets open. Philadelphia welcomed the Amex with open arms that week in September 2001. And that, without question to me, Charlie, is the most memorable thing I've ever seen in the options market.
Next, let's upgrade your options toolbox with cutting-edge trading platforms, devices, and information. Let's talk about tools, resources, and good reads.
In today's tools, resources, and good reads, we're going to combine the tools and resource sections by focusing on our very own OIC website, found at optionseducation.org. Lots of tools and resources here to review. Actually, 13 different sections in all. Now, to access these tools and resources, start at optionseducation.org, then click Menu at the top left-hand corner of the homepage. As mentioned, you'll find 13 different sections in the menu area. Click on any area of interest: podcasts, the video library, the events section. There are plenty of more offerings, including the options overview section, another on option strategies, a chapter on advanced strategies as well, along with a few more sections that include both tools and resources, things like pricing calculators and implied volatility charts. Now, our good read today is actually a list of good reads that comes from my longtime friend and the Street's options prophet, veteran trader, Skip Rashke. Let's just say Skip has many years in the investment industry as a trader and continues his thirst of knowledge as a student of the markets. You can find his list of 15 must-reads, many option-related, at thestreet.com/must-read list for option traders. Of course, you can Google Skip Rashke must-read option books. That's Skip Rashke, R-A-S-C-H-K-E, must-read option books. Well, 13 education chapters at optionseducation.org and 15 must-read books. I think that's plenty for today's tools, resources, and good reads. Thanks for joining us.
You've been listening to the Options Industry Council's Wide World of Options. If you have questions about anything you've heard on today's show, email Joe Burgoyne at options@theocc.com or visit optionseducation.org and chat with Investor Services. Interested in connecting with OIC on social media? Like the OIC page on Facebook. Follow them on Twitter at options_EDU and Instagram at Options Education, and follow their page on LinkedIn. Thanks for listening, and be sure to tune in to the next episode of Wide World of Options.
The preceding program was a production of the Options Insider Radio Network. For more quality options programs, visit www.theoptionsinsider.com or search for Options Insider Radio Network in your podcast provider of choice. Listeners can also access all of our programming through our mobile app, available in iTunes and on Google Play. Don't forget to follow along with your favorite programs and submit your own questions for the hosts at twitter.com/options, facebook.com/The Options Insider, or via questions@theoptionsinsider.com.